Good morning. Welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is April 17th, 2024. This is episode 100. Oh, no. I forgot. 140? Is it really 140 episodes? Wow. All right, everybody. This is a podcast by a dreamer for all of you dreamers out there. Stand-up comedian and actor Paul Green coming to you live documenting my journey as I rise to greatness. Okay. So let's see. Those of you following along know that I have started to challenge myself to be a lot more disciplined, which is just not a fun word at all. Disciplined. But I know that that is probably one of my most glaring weaknesses and struggles to accomplish my goals is just a little stick-to-itiveness of just working hard and consistently. I feel like I've always sort of been in the game, but in terms of developing daily habits, daily rituals that would help me to hone my craft, help me to be a more polished performer, more polished comedian, I've always struggled with that. I've always sort of relied more on my energy, my instinct, my performance instinct, because I have been performing and entertaining since about the fourth grade is when I started class clowning and acting out and putting on sketches for my teacher and for my class with my friends. But I think anybody who's really achieved a level of success will tell you that talent and instinct and all of that can only take you so far. And if it's not coupled with just a very rigorous and meticulous work ethic of specifically in stand-up comedy of just writing and honing the craft as a writer and stand-up comedian, that it can only go so far. And that is where I'm at. I'm realizing that what I've done so far has gotten me to where I'm at, which I've had some cool experiences. I'm very fortunate. I'm able to, you know, regular at a club, and I get booked a lot to do feature spots at, you know, casinos and other shows here and there. And, you know, but it's all kind of in this sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's good. I mean, these are great opportunities and I'm very fortunate to have them, but I feel like for where I'm at, if I really want to get to the next level where it's like, oh, now I'm a nationally touring headliner. Oh, now I'm starting to get looked at for television spots or, you know, Netflix specials or late night television spots, if those even exist anymore. Really got to up my game, and most specifically in the writing jokes and really trying to get my jokes and my material in some ways a little more mainstream, which I know maybe doesn't sound like a good goal, but no, that's a goal for me, is to really start tapping into the type of material, the type of brand, the type of presence on stage that is more globally appealing and funny to more and more people. And that's just not where I'm at right now. And again, those of you following the podcast know all of this, but I have been working with a comedy mentor and went through, so I did an hour filmed comedy special back in November, and it went very well. I was very proud of it. But as I've started to work with him, and he has started to really show me what it actually looks like to do material that is consistent with what all of the most successful comedians are doing. And yeah, that's not where I'm at. It's just not where I'm at. And I think it's very important to be open to not being where you want to be. This is going to kind of get into an area that might be a little dicey, because it's a bit of a social commentary. I feel like there's something about our generation now to where we just want to tell everybody that they're great exactly as they are and that they're perfect and they don't need to change and they don't need to be anything better than who they are. And I understand why that is the case to some degree. I think it's to combat a lot of, you know, mental health issues and helping maybe so many of us who have maybe been depressed or have maybe, you know, have some other mental health concerns. And I think it's a way to help us feel like, no, we're okay. We are who we are. And that is okay. which is not untrue. However, there's the other side of that, which is if there is something that we are striving for in our lives that we do not currently obtain, then it is logical to reason that why that we don't have what we want is because we need to make some changes. Or at least keep working towards what it is that we're striving for. So I understand the sentiment of we're all beautiful exactly as we are, and we don't need to be anything else than who we are. And there is some truth to that, because I understand the flip side of this coin is if we are constantly in a state of, oh, I'm never good enough, I don't deserve love, I always have to try to make other people happy, or I've, you know, like those sort of things, it's like, yeah, now we're getting into maybe some unhealthy territory on the other side of that coin. But when I look at my comedy and go, my comedy's good, but it's not great. It's not, you know, let's give this guy a Netflix special to do these jokes for the masses. You know, I don't say that with some sort of, now I feel like depressed and that I don't deserve love. You know what I mean? Or that I should just quit and I'll never be good enough or whatever. No, it's reality. Because if my jokes were good enough to be on Netflix, they would be on Netflix, and they aren't on Netflix. If they were good enough to be a nationally touring headliner, I would be a nationally touring headliner, and my phone would be blowing up with bookers and managers and agents and, you know, casting directors, and my phone is not blowing up. Although it did blow up yesterday, and I did book a 55-plus retirement community down in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm actually very grateful for that. So I could look at it and go like, okay, well, that's where I'm at right now. Where I'm at right now is I can book these types of gigs. I can book kind of smaller corporate gigs, you know, feature gigs at casinos. And I can, you know, regular at comedy clubs that I have a relationship with, and who trust me to do a good job. You know, they know I'm not going to show up drunk and, you know, all of that. And they know that I'm funny and that I'll do a good job. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for where I'm at. And I am now looking at, okay, but where do I, what's my big goal? Where am I trying to get? And what adjustments and changes do I need to make to get there? And how much harder do I need to work and focus and refine and hone my craft? And when I've just taken a real honest look at my body of work, and also while working with someone who has had the opportunities that I'm wanting, I'm working with somebody who's been on Letterman twice. I'm working with someone who has a TED Talk where he pretty much did stand-up material and just absolutely crushed it, and has been on Craig Kilburn and has been on Jimmy Kimmel and was a nationally touring headliner and could headline all of the Laugh Factories and could headline all of the major clubs in Vegas and has a huge corporate client list and is actually a professional working stand-up comedian and makes his living as a comedian with no side job. And I've watched his David Letterman set, and his David Letterman set is the funniest 7 minutes of comedy. It is so freaking good. And when I compare that 7 minute set to the best 7 minute set that I have, it's not even close. And don't get me wrong, my 7 minutes are good. It's funny. I'm not saying I'm the worst comic ever. I'm not saying I'm horrible. I'm just saying there is a gap there. And what do I need to close the gap? And what I need to do to close the gap is get a job at the Gap and become their closer. You see, those types of jokes, those would never make it on Netflix. So, anyway, that is what I'm up to. Yesterday, I wrote for about 3 hours, probably, accumulatively. Maybe I'm giving myself a credit. Maybe like 2.5. I specifically went to the library to write, which is kind of becoming my thing because, you know, it just puts it in a little bit of a different situation. And even that right there, it's like a conscious decision. Am I just going to like hang out at home where there's a million distractions, or am I actually going to go and do work? And I'm going to sit at a library. I'm going to turn off, you know, I don't turn off my phone. I put on earbuds and I put on like a meditation track, like white noise to drown out all the sound. And then I just write. So I started to write some new stuff. I also started to rewrite some of my old material. So this is what was fun is I started, again, with my mentor, I went through my old stand-up comedy set, and I started to look at what I was doing in that comedy set and going, can I take some of these premises, some of these ideas, can I take some of these actual thoughts and opinions and rewrite them to fit more of this mainstream format, something to be a little more, you know, a little bit more consistent with the type of comedy that I ultimately want to do. I talked about this a couple days ago, where I was talking about how a lady friend of mine was complaining that a man matched with her on Tinder, but he clearly didn't read her profile. And so I was talking about that. And then this is sort of an expansion on that, which is I find that every once in a while I'll read a dating profile from a woman and it just really feels like she's using this profile as an opportunity to passive-aggressively complain about her exes. She'll be like, hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm looking for a long-term relationship. with a man who, after 6 months, won't tell me that he loves me, makes me feel like I can soar, and then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, he needs to work on himself. If this is you, then just go ahead and swipe left, Brad.
Okay.
This is all brand new, guys. None of this is refined. None of it's worked out. This is literally like I'm in a library writing this out long form. And I get that it still needs a lot of work, but I like that idea. I think that's a funny idea. Men, on the other hand, we are complete idiots when we make our dating profiles. Evidently, men just think,
yeah, I want to attract a woman. What should I do? I'm going to post a picture of me with a dead fish. Oh, yeah. Nothing a woman loves more than some dead animal carcass. That's why the next picture is going to be me after killing this deer. You know, that's what women love. Women love the cutest, sweetest animals, and then just seeing their brains splattered all over the beautiful green foliage of a forest. That's right, ladies. I killed Bambi. Come and get him. Okay. Something like that. Let's see. What else do we got in here?
Oh, this is me starting to rewrite a joke. And by the way, when I say rewrite, I'm rewriting jokes that were kind of working. Like they were working. They were getting laughs. But this is the process of being willing to take something that works pretty good and seeing if I can rewrite it to work even better, or again, to fit a more popular comedic style. So maybe I'll do a compare and contrast here. So I went through a really bad breakup recently, and my therapist told me that my ex sounds like a narcissist. So, you know, of course that made me feel pretty good.
It's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. She was the problem. Yeah.
But then my therapist started to read the characteristics of a narcissist, and I'm going, those actually sound a lot like me, actually. She goes, narcissists have an unreasonably high desire for admiration with a very fragile sense of self-worth. And all I could think was, every night I go stand in front of strangers seeking their admiration, and then I go home and podcast about how bad it went. So that's a rewrite. I think we'll see how that goes. Oh, I started to rewrite. This was another bit. So I talk a lot about self-help in my last bit. And I talked about going to Tony Robbins. So again, I had the joke. I had it written. I do it a certain way. And it always kind of worked. But this is how I am starting to think I would rewrite it with my new comedic format. So I do like the self-help industry. I am finding, though, after years of seminars and self-help books, I'm not really sure the self-help industry works. It's like I went to a Tony Robbins and I had a blast. It was like a 4-day dance club. And every once in a while, Tony would run out on stage and say some vague philosophy like, we all have a hierarchy of needs. Then we'd all cheer and start dancing again. It's like, I do have a hierarchy of needs. And priority number one is dancing. And then after 4 days of that, I went back home and I was pretty much the same. Anyway, it's that kind of stuff. Like, how do I describe this? It's like, I'm not trying to be jokey. I actually am just trying to talk about what happened, talk about what my honest opinion is, and then just demonstrate what it is that demonstrate my point of view. And again, when my mentor had me look at Brian Regan, Sebastian Maniscalco, Jim Gaffigan, and even I'm noticing more comics are really similar to this format, like John Delaney. John Mulaney, Gary Goldman, Bill Burr even does that. Bill Burr is a lot more transgressive and a lot more edgy, and I'm not going for like kind of that on the edge, shocking type of humor. Even like Louis C.K. is kind of in that camp, but I'm just actually trying to talk about what happened, talk about my honest point of view, what I really thought, what I really felt, and then just demonstrating it. And so, you know, I had a Tony Robbins joke, but I was trying to present everything in some sort of joke format instead of trying to present things in a honest monologue and an honest demonstration of what I'm really thinking and what I'm really feeling. And it's new and it is a ton of work. It's just writing, 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 writing. Writing and refining. All right, everybody. That is the update for today, April 17th, 2024, episode 140. I hope all of you are doing fantastic. Congratulations to my good friend, Jim Perry, who is popping off on YouTube right now. He sent me a text message last night where he had gotten like, he has like 84,000 subscribers on YouTube. I don't know how many he had before, but it sounds like he's going viral. I was asleep when he texted me, but I checked again this morning and he's up to over 100,000. So that is very, very exciting. And I know he is a regular fan of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. So congratulations to Jim. And really excited to see what doors and opportunities that will open for you. And I hope all of you are out there following your dreams, finding success, having cool experiences, and learning to push through the hard times, and also being willing to really be honest and look at where you're at, where you want to go, and what sort of work and adjustments may need to be made in order to get what it is that you're going for. So let's all go get those dreams, everybody. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you tomorrow.